As a result of the pandemic, the state has seen a spike in the number of New Yorkers utilizing Medicaid for their insurance coverage. But as aspects of life return to normal this year and in 2022, many of the new enrollees could find themselves without coverage as the state begins to more rigorously check eligibility for the program. To discuss what's at stake, we're joined by Erica Hansen, a staff attorney with the Health Law Unit for the Legal Aid Society. Hello, Erica.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
And we also have Rebecca Antar-Navik, the Health Law Unit's director. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So I mentioned at the top that we've seen an increase in Medicaid enrollment during the pandemic, and that makes sense since so many New Yorkers lost their job and healthcare is often tied to employment. But that's not the only reason that we've seen these numbers swell a bit over the past 16 months. Can you explain what has been happening with regards to Medicaid enrollment?
One of the great policies that was implemented at a federal level at the beginning of the pandemic in March 2020 through federal legislation was a protection that no Medicaid enrollee could actually lose coverage for the duration of the COVID-19 emergency. So everyone that was on Medicaid as of March 2020 or gained Medicaid coverage during the emergency actually hasn't been able to be kicked off of coverage. So through this protection, there's been a lot of stability in the Medicaid program and a lot of continuous protection. So because of that, you know, the Medicaid numbers have stayed relatively stable in addition to the additions in enrollees that you mentioned.
Is there usually more tumult in the Medicaid numbers? And if so, is that because, say, low-income New Yorkers are finding jobs that might have insurance? Or is this much more complicated than this and dealing with a different population than just low-income New Yorkers?
In general, there are people who are on Medicaid need to recertify for the program every year. And what inevitably happens is that, first of all, there are, of course, any number of people who may not be eligible in the following year because maybe they've gotten a job or a new job or picked up increased hours. But also there are, unfortunately, individuals who drop off the program, you know, month by month, you know, on their yearly cycle because they didn't receive their information, or they had complicating issues in their lives that kept them from recertifying. And so it's this churn that has been avoided during the pandemic, which has contributed to the increased numbers, and it also has created stability at a really tough time.
So when we think of the increased Medicaid enrollment right now, how much larger is the state's Medicaid population than, say, past years when we saw more churn and, I guess, not as much of a dire financial situation?
So over the pandemic, since about March 2020, the Medicaid population in New York State has gone from about 6 million enrollees to 7 million enrollees. So it's grown by about 1 million. And that includes, you know, people who have been kept on by these protections that have avoided churn, as well as the new enrollees that, you know, have lost their jobs and have become newly eligible.
So then moving forward, as we see this return to normalcy, for example, New York officially ended its pandemic disaster declaration at the end of June, is there any indication from the federal government when they plan on going back to, I guess, business as usual with regards to checking for eligibility for Medicaid?
The federal government has been extending the federal public health emergency 90 days at a time, which is how they're able to do it. And so they just actually it was actually just about to expire, and they just extended it for another 3 months, taking it into October. However, shortly after President Biden took office, the federal government announced that they expected that the federal emergency would go through the end of 2021, and that they would provide 2 months of notice before it was actually going to be ended. But, you know, we're actually getting not that far from you know, it's not that far from now. And so this is the time that the state and the counties, the local districts that also participate in running the program and advocates are actually really starting to think about what's going to be happening as next steps.
Yeah, what do you think those next steps should be? And for listeners who might have gone on to Medicaid and might be worried about their eligibility moving forward, is there anything that they should be doing in the interim period?
Well, some of the main concerns that we have with the kind of return back to normalcy is that the pandemic, first of all, has caused a lot of housing instability and displacement. So enrollees and beneficiaries' addresses may have changed. And when there's a lot of communication that needs to happen between, you know, the Medicaid agencies and individuals that receive Medicaid, it's important to have that contact information updated. So your addresses, your emails, and your telephone numbers. So if those things have changed, it's important to reach out to Medicaid and let them know that. Another thing that we're hoping that the state is going to do and that beneficiaries can look out for is communication for what they need to do when it comes to recertification, when that's going to start up again. So just knowing that although recertifications and verifications have not been happening throughout the duration of the COVID-19 emergency, that's going to start up again, right? So don't ignore any communications that you receive from the Medicaid agency.
So the pandemic has led to a reexamination of many aspects of government. So are you hoping that based on this upcoming experience, and I guess the experience more broadly during the pandemic with regards to Medicaid eligibility, that there's some sort of reexamination of this issue of Medicaid churn and who is eligible in the future? And if so, what would you hope that reexamination might prompt?
So from a bigger picture perspective, you know, I certainly support expansions of coverage. We're lucky in New York that we have more expansive public programs than virtually anywhere, in addition to having, of course, expanded Medicaid with the Affordable Care Act. We're one of only two states that has a basic health plan, which we call the Essential Plan here in New York, which provides very low cost and free premium health coverage for people whose income is a little bit higher than the Medicaid limit. We have coverage for children through Child Health Plus. So, you know, I think we have great programs here, and you know, as Erica said, the better sort of procedures that we have in place to make sure that people are recertifying or getting onto another program if that's what they're eligible for, the better. And you know, but I think also, you know, the pandemic has highlighted the importance of coverage, and for all of the terrible inequities that have been sort of highlighted and observed during the pandemic, how much worse would it have been if all of the people covered by Medicaid were not? And so, you know, certainly support coverage expansions for those who don't necessarily have an option right now to be on Medicaid.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Erica Hansen, a staff attorney with the Health Law Unit for the Legal Aid Society. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Rebecca Antar-Navik, the Health Law Unit's director. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.